This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Annuity Straight Talk Podcast, episode number 97. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm on vacation right now and I had to get this done because it's been weighing on my mind. So I'm in a hotel room and I brought the minimal type of stuff to record this episode. It needs to be done. I'd rather not do it, but we're going to talk about some annuity straight talk reviews. And obviously I'm doing this not because it's a great review. It's because it's a bad review. I figure it's best for me to get out in front of it. It's not something I'm going to hide from, something I'll own and I'll talk about. I'm not perfect, not at all. And I think a lot of you guys would understand. Some people appreciate this quality about me, but I do have my reasons. I've got an explanation for it. But earlier this week, I got a review from a lady that I sold an annuity to, probably a little over three. Started talking to her about 4 years ago. I'm going to respond on, it was posted on the Better Business Bureau website. I'm an A-plus rated credited business on the Better Business Bureau. I've been told that it's not going to affect my rating. The comment doesn't really say much, but I figured I'd share it with everyone and you guys can make your own decisions. And if you decide you don't want to do business with me because of this, I don't know. One of the hallmarks I have about myself and how I do business is I'm honest. And I'll tell you right now, not everybody likes me. Apparently this person's upset and I do not think it's justified, but I certainly understand she is entitled to her own opinions. I got an email from the Better Business Bureau. I think it was Monday evening and I will read it to you. And the comment itself is copied in the email. It says the worse, not worst, worse, but it's not for me to correct spelling errors. Stay as far away from Brian Anderson as you can get. He is volatile and hot-tempered, and I will be lodging my complaint with the Better Business Bureau. I would have given 0 stars, but the system made me put something in the star field, so she gave me 1 star because she had to. Okay, it's tough for me to do this. I'm going to get ahead of it because it does grate at me, and I do not like it. But this comment or this complaint was lodged publicly. I'm going to respond publicly. I tell everybody about the good. It's only fair to tell people about the bad. I do believe this is a misunderstanding. I'll try to explain that, but I'm going to share the story. You guys be the judge. So I met Dolores in 2019. I left her a voicemail this week saying, if you want to be public, it's going to be public, and I'm going to respond publicly. I will not say her last name. I won't tell you where she's from because that's not disclosed anywhere. But I met her in 2019. She was pulled in a lot of directions, and that's no different than a lot of other people. So I took a lot of time explaining her options. We didn't just talk about annuities or what she could do. She did not like the market, did not like taking risk. So we talked about Social Security, Medicare, retirement distributions, required minimum distributions for her IRA. That was going to be an issue in the future. She had plenty of savings. There was no hurry to rush into anything. And she was in money markets and stuff like that. So she had the time to figure out what she wanted to do and place everything where she wanted. Because she had so many different points of view, I went, and you guys all know this, back in 2019, I wasn't doing the podcast, but I was writing newsletters every week. She got 2 newsletters dedicated to her concerns, specifically because she needed a little bit of extra explanation, and it gave me an opportunity, with them being fairly common concerns, gave me an opportunity to really do a good job for her because I knew it would also help other people. You guys need to understand, when I'm able to do that for anyone, it represents a lot of effort and time commitment on my part. I got to get it right. It's got to withstand scrutiny, the written word on the internet. A lot of people can pick it apart. So I got to be really careful, and it takes a huge investment of time for me to do that even once. And if you get that, I'm happy to do it, but you need to understand how invaluable it is. We sifted through all that stuff and I helped her set up a bunch of the other stuff and answer a lot of her questions, just generally relating to entire retirement. I took no compensation for that whatsoever. And I do that for anyone. That's what I'm here to do. When she started buying annuities, she really liked the multi-year fixed annuity. This was 2019, 2020. Rates were at the bottom. She's very risk averse, didn't like the complexity of indexed annuities. I talked to her about both of those things, but she wanted the highest rates. She was a rate shopper and she chased the highest rates. You guys will know I talk about this all the time. Even now, I'm not selling the very highest rates. Private equity led companies that are B rated, I think taking too much risk, I'm not going to chase the highest rates. She wanted the 4% or so that was maybe around from some of the B rated companies back then. And it's something I don't want to do. I've talked a lot about Colorado Bankers Life in the past few years, was one of those B rated companies. It's not one she had, but they were put in a receivership and everybody's got their money locked up because they were chasing rates back then. And I just don't think it's prudent to do. That's not what annuities are for. They're for safety. They're for security. They're for peace of mind. You don't chase substandard companies just to get a little bit more rate out of it. I will never, ever compromise that principle. I'm only going to offer rates from the companies that I do recommend doing business with, something I can live with as well. They're going to be more stable and you maybe have to give up a little bit of yield to do it. But if you want that highest rate, then go buy it from someone else. I don't care. The other agents she talked to were more than happy to get the business, whatever they could do to make a sale. That was fine with me so long as she understood the risk. I didn't really care. If she got what she wanted, it wasn't on me. So she went and did it. The whole process of doing that, plus all the other questions she had, took about a year. We had a good relationship and it was fine. I helped her out a bunch. I mean, I guess looking back, I think she realized I had done a lot of stuff for her and decided that she would give me some business as a thank you, which some people do that. And she again asked, what do you have? She didn't like the rates and the fixed annuities. I said, hey, blend it up. She had put a lot of money into these other fixed annuities. So we'll just put a little piece of something in an index annuity, leverage the low rates, take a chance to earn more. That's what they're all about. And the risk is 0%. Your downside is zero. And you might make a little bit more. You do well if you make just as much. It's no big deal. Plus, I was giving her an annuity from an A-plus company. It was going to be the highest quality paper in her portfolio. The only thing that was A-rated or better. So she decided to commit the deal. It was about 15% of her portfolio. Hardly the type of investment that's going to make or break her retirement. And this is a woman who was well set up. She didn't even really need the money. Only thing she really had to worry about is required minimum distributions, but she was well before the age where she had to do that. This is where it gets in the index options we chose for the first year. I think we used it a blended index with rates jumping and the market being volatile. It didn't perform well. The market was mostly flat, maybe up a little bit, maybe down. But I remember she came through the first year and didn't really make a whole lot of money. Right off the bat, she came at me saying, I never should have done this. I can't believe you talked me into it. Those kinds of things. And I did defend myself. We had a couple of tense conversations about that. I said, you have to be patient. I'm going to tell everybody this. You have to be patient with these contracts. The market is not always up. The key is that you're not losing money. And when the market's up, you get a piece of it and you lock that in, right? Then we go through a second year, same thing. Market's down a little bit. The contract comes back, didn't make a whole lot of money. Again, how could you ever do this? What's it going to cost to get me out of it? I want to take a free withdrawal. She took a free withdrawal the first 2 years. So by this time, she'd taken about 20% of her of the money out of it that she put into it in the first place. Okay. So she said, she threw her hands up and she just said, and this is where I have the email that says, listen, just put it in the fixed rate. The fixed rate's 2%. I want to make sure I get something out of it and I'm going to run this to the end. I just want to get rid of it. I don't like it. And so she was always coming at me with those threats. And I honestly think it was a lot of the other people that she had dealt with were saying, what would you do this for? Why did he get you to do that? There are some people that don't have original thoughts of their own, don't think for themselves that well. I'm not necessarily going to say that's who she is, but I know she's very susceptible to persuasion from other people. And I think a lot of the comments I got from her came from another person. And sure, that didn't make me very happy. So the third year she goes through with the fixed account, makes a couple percentage points. It's guaranteed. Now that's where we run into the problem, because now we're in earlier this year when she reset her contract. Typically what I do is I'll email a contract owner. When I get the statement, I send an email. Hey, listen, annuity's up. We got X amount of time to change allocations. Let me know when you have time to chat. I didn't hear from her. And so when that happens, then I follow up with a phone call. Now, I don't do this for everybody, and not because I don't want to, but there's a lot of people that are self-sufficient. There are a lot of people I talk to on a regular basis that already know they can get a hold of me. So that's one thing you need to know. You got to get a hold of me. So anyway, I left her a voicemail a week later. I had to look back at this after I got the complaint, because I wanted to go see what it was. I talked to her about 6 weeks ago, didn't verify it. Anyway, she never got back to me. And so what happens with the annuity is it's going to stay with the same allocation going into the fourth year. So now she's going to make another 2%, and that's all there is to it. She didn't see the email, what she said. She didn't get the voicemail, no communication. The only other option I have is to fly out, rent a car, drive to her house and knock on the door. I'm not going to do that. As much as I'd like to see everybody face to face, I don't make enough money to and have enough time to travel all over the country every time there's an anniversary. That's the typical spot. So she had expressed to me that she was very disappointed. I don't know when she got the idea that I'm ill-tempered, but there were some tense conversations. I think I have an assertive voice, and I will defend myself against accusations when someone tells me, oh, hey, you pulled one over on me, or I shouldn't have done this. Maybe you shouldn't have got me into this. I can't believe I listened to you, that kind of thing. Because let's not forget, I did an incredible amount of work for her for free. She never lost a penny. She never paid a fee. She's made $10,000 in the last 3 years, no big deal. And she's now pulled out almost 30% of the portfolio. So she's had liquidity, no fees, no risk, and she made a little bit of money. I don't really see what the problem is. Apparently, she just doesn't like me. What's interesting is, and I'm going to say in this case, one of the problems with her feeling like maybe I didn't communicate well enough is right after she bought the annuity, I noticed that she unsubscribed from the email list. And I asked her about it. I said, why did you unsubscribe from this? And she said, well, it's because I know you and I talk to you and I don't need to keep reading all this stuff because it confuses me anyway. And so I just decided to not get the emails anymore. And I'm going to tell anybody that does business with me, even if you don't read those, it's important to stay on the email list so that you see communications from me regularly, whether it's personal or not. It's an opportunity for you guys to know that I'm here, remind you of how I'm here, like what my phone number is, all that stuff in case you forget it. But you see me out there all the time, and it's a way to interact as well. So you don't have to read it. You don't have to watch every video, but you get to see that. So, oh, 2-3 years ago, she's unsubscribed from the email list. She recently resubscribed to the list, and I noticed that she has a different email. Is that possibly why she didn't get the emails that I sent trying to communicate with her in the first place? I do not know. There's a different type of advisor out there, and I hear from dozens and dozens of people every year. Bought this annuity, never hear from the guy. So I'm probably better at communication than 95 to 99% of other people that are selling this stuff. And so give me a break sometimes. I'm busy. You can call me. That's why I give you my phone number. I tell you, every single one of my clients, everybody who's ever bought something from me has my cell phone number. A lot of people text me. You can email me. You can call me. I'm very available. Answer the phone on my vacation. I'm sitting here doing a dang podcast when I'm on a trip right now. I'm always around. And one thing I will tell you about Dolores is I was available to her and she knew she could call me. I do not think that there's a single time where she ever called me. She might've had to leave a message once or twice. I always called her back. Most of the time picked up the phone. And when she called me 6 weeks ago saying that she wanted to submit a complaint, I told her where to do it, because I want everybody to have the voice that they need to have. And I said, if you're going to lodge a complaint, then I'm going to respond to it. We can either handle it ourselves and we can talk it through, or we can do it publicly. She chose to do it publicly. So I'm going to be there and I'm going to say it. And I want to, I guess right now I'll apologize to Dolores. I only meant to help. I think I did plenty to do it. I made a little bit of money on the annuity that you did buy. You've been pulling money out of it ever since you started. That's decreases my compensation over time. No big deal. I want you to do what's best for you, what you think is best. So that's fine. And anybody else, I'm available. It works. If you change your email address or your phone number, you need to let me know. If you unsubscribe from my email list, realize you're not going to get regular communications from me, and that's going to happen. So I'm going to take this and, again, share it with everybody, like I said, and I'm going to move on. I think possibly there's some people out there who would have a different side of the story. I don't think I would be here if everybody felt like Dolores feels, and I sure hope things work out for her. I'm going to continue to, as long as she's got the contract, I'm going to continue to offer advice and support and help her do whatever she has, because that's my obligation for having sold it a few years ago. Anyway, but I hope she feels better that she got to say something. The complaint doesn't say a whole lot, except I think everybody knows, like, yeah, I get fired up sometimes. I'm very passionate about what I do. Not going to apologize for that, but we could all do a better job at reading people sometimes. So maybe I got that to improve on. It's a humbling experience for me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to actually take a step back and look at it. And I'm going to do my best to make sure I continue to help people as much as I possibly can and make up for the mistakes that I have made. So I do not think this is indicative of the person I am or the advisor that I try to be. And I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree with me. Please, I would love some comments from you guys. Share your stories, share your impressions if you want. This is not, again, like a great positive deal, but I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to put my head under a rock and pretend that it's not there. It is. And we move forward and do the best we can. So thank you for joining me for the most unpleasant of all my podcasts, episode number 97. Please like, subscribe, or comment on any of your favorite podcast platforms or on YouTube. Hit me up at 800-438-5121. If you want to chat, you want to schedule an appointment, use the top right corner of any page on annuitystraighttalk.com. Schedule a call button. That's what it says. Pick your time zone, pick your time, write some notes, tell me what you want to talk about. Again, 800-438-5121. My name is Brian Anderson. I appreciate you joining me. And here's my commitment to continue to do the best I can.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with a qualified and licensed professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.